Okay, we are in week two. My name's Heath, by the way, sorry, lead pastor here at Reach Community Church. I'm always fearful sometimes that I'm going to say the wrong church. I did announcements at the church that I came from for like 3 years before I left, and so like my first year here, it was very, like I had to think about it. Like, don't say Grace. That was the church that I came from, so every time I introduce myself, I try not to, so it's in me now. I don't know why I went on that little tangent. Good thing is I edit the sermon, so I could get rid of that if I wanted to. Awesome. So we're in week two of this series called God With Us. I mean, we talk about it, we sing about it, we talk about this idea about Emmanuel, literally God in the flesh being with us, and what does that mean for us? And so last week, we talked about this reality that the goodness of what actually happens with God being with us affects us in different ways. And so last week, we talked about this reality that the presence of God, God being with us, impacts and redeems our past, our befores. And we looked at that through the lens of Mary and Joseph, a very, wouldn't in our minds, if we were making up the story, be the poster children for the mother and father of the Savior of the Lord. She was with child before they were together. I mean, it was just a story that God redeemed beautifully in impacts not only them but us. And so we get that reality that God can do the same thing with us. He can take our crazy story, he can enter into it and make something great out of it. And so this week I want to continue that on and talk about God with us in the present. So I think sometimes we can go, okay, yes, God has redeemed us from this past sin or this past life or these things that I regret, but it's hard, I think one of the most difficult time, because the past is over and the future isn't here, is living in the present with this idea of having peace and joy. And God with us is how that actually happens. And so we're going to unwrap a little bit more of the story of Mary in her encounter with the Holy Spirit and her encounter with her aunt Elizabeth. Or her cousin Elizabeth. And so I want to tell you a little story how I somewhat enjoyed the presence of God being with me and then teetered onto the scene of Crazy Town. Okay? Let me tell you about my yesterday. So yesterday, we were sitting around the house. We'd gone on a walk and we needed some groceries. And so I was given the great task of, I feel like, Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk, you know, like the mom going, don't, you know. So anyway, Jody gave me a list because I'm not capable of getting everything that's, sometimes I even miss things in our list. So she gave me a list and a $100 bill. And so I put that list and the $100 bill in my pocket along with my phone and my wallet. And so I went to the grocery store and I zigzagged around the place because I logically don't know how to look at the list and go, everything's going to be in this order. I forget one thing and I went back and forth and back and forth. And in the middle of being in the grocery store, thinking about the list, making sure I get everything else, maybe adding a thing or two for me, I had this conscious thought about, like, man, what if I lost the $100 bill? It's probably the Holy Spirit going, look down, dummy, you just dropped the $100 bill. And so I get finished, I get up to the line, and I had basketball shorts on because it was a lazy day, there was no paper in my pants. And the guy kept getting close, he was at Harris Teeter, Amber, if you're in here, and the guy kept getting closer and closer to me because he thought I was going down in my pocket to get my Bit card. And so, like, he walked, and I'm like, what are you doing? And so I'm like, I think I lost a $100 bill. And in me, I'm like, just calm down. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And in that moment, I'm thinking, you know, there's half of me. And I think this is where all of us are. And I think this is partially where Mary could be a little bit in her story, is that we can understand that God's good. And it's okay. At the end of the day, as depressing as it is to lose a $100 bill, it is not the end of my world. But then there's the other part of me that wants to, like, you know, it's Christmas time, you know, and we took Crown of Financial Peace, okay, we do Dave Ramsey, we've got the cash system, and it works when you don't lose the money. And so in my brain, I'm also thinking, I'm going to have to explain to my wife that I have lost a $100 bill that she just gave me. Not to mention I was being a butt before all this, but we'll just leave that part of the story out because it doesn't fit. You don't need it. The guy's trying to be nice, and I'm thinking in my mind, you know, there's that part of me that's going, man, maybe somebody's day just got made. Like somebody was walking down that grocery store aisle, and maybe they really needed it, and they are enjoying the $100 bill. And then there's the part of me that wants to dwell on it and get frustrated over something that doesn't really matter. And money matters, but in the big scheme of things, it'll be all right. A year from now, I'm not going to be thinking about that $100 bill. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to go through, we're going to be in Luke 1, a lot of Luke 1, and I want to talk about this reality of how we live in the present and still maintain peace and joy, because we're going to look at the story of Mary, and Mary could have, at any moment, really just went into a hysteria of what could happen and what could be, and just like I could go, well, Jody's going to be frustrated with me. I actually text her and say, I lost $100 bill, and she's like, are you serious? You're joking, right? And I was like, no, and she didn't text me again until I got home. I knew that, So I'd love to say, I lived in peace and joy yesterday, and, everything was great. I tasted it and then pulled back and tasted the other side of not having peace and joy. And so what I want to do, because this is where we have the option of being, of enjoying the presence of God, and it is not because he doesn't want to give it to us that we don't have it. It's because we choose not to take it. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into the Word. Dear my Father, Lord, I just thank you that, Lord, you give us opportunities, divine opportunities to experience your peace and your joy, even in circumstances that don't make sense, even in circumstances that are painful or frustrating. Lord, in all times of our life, Lord, you've given us this reality that everything works out for the good for those who love him. And Lord, I just want to bathe us with the Word and that reality that, Lord, everything is good that you're in. And so, Lord, let us center ourselves on you this morning. Let us center ourselves on the reality that you've come to dwell in us, to give us life and give us life in abundance. So, Lord, thank you for Mary that you chose. Thank you for her willingness to live the life and experience the joy in circumstances that could have easily robbed that. So speak to us, encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start, before we get into the story of Mary, just with this scripture out of Matthew. And there's this whole section in Matthew 16 about don't be anxious. We're anxious. We're anxious about what tomorrow is going to be. We're anxious about where our job future are. We're anxious about how much money is now on our credit card because of Christmas. Anybody? Okay. Maybe not. So in Matthew 16, here's it's talking about, and it goes through the story about flowers and the birds. They don't toil, and God provides. In verse 31, it says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, where we lose the joy is when we set our focus on something that's other than the presence of God, other than the goodness of what he has for us, and hoping on a thing that's going to satisfy us. Hoping. Like we do sometimes, especially younger, when Christmas happens and the gift of all gifts gets opened and the joy is released, and then that joy goes away because that gift is never meant to contain our joy and give us lasting peace, but Jesus is. And so, if you'll flip forward, we're going to be in Luke the rest of the time other than one verse out of Psalms as we close. So if you're with me, we're going to be in Luke 1, starting in verse 26. And we're going to kind of read through a little different variation of what we read last week, but same kind of story. And I want to set up her encounter with Elizabeth, her cousin, and then want to talk about a song that Mary sings. So in verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.'" I love, and I say this all the time, but I love that, you know, we're so we're overstimulated in the movies and the things that go on, and we see all these special effects, and we don't think much of it. And I love that every time an angel shows up, it's not like, "Oh my gosh, this is cool." It's like, "This is serious." And so I love Mary's reaction here, even though he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." In verse 29, it says, "But she was greatly troubled and said at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting it might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.'" That sounds amazing. I mean, this is a people, she is from the Jewish culture, and they've been waiting for this for generations, for hundreds of years, for the promise of the king that would be all that David was supposed to be, and then some. And here's the promise that God is speaking over her, and then hear her words. In verse 34, it says, "And Mary said to the angel," I love her logic, "'How will this be since I am a virgin?'" Now, what we didn't talk about is a little bit before this, the same angel had a conversation with Zechariah, which is Elizabeth's wife, which is John the Baptist's father, and had an encounter with him in the Holy of Holies when it was his turn as a priest to go in, and the angel appeared to him and said, "You're going to have a child," and they didn't have any children, and they were old, and he was like, "How's this going to be since we're both old?" And the angel told him, like, I got smart with him. It was like, how can you question me? And he punished him and took away his voice for the next 10 months. And so he came out. Everybody knew that he had an encounter, but he couldn't speak until literally the day that his son was born, and they were going to name him something else. And Gabriel had told him what his name was going to be, and he named his son John, which wasn't a family name, which everybody was like, whatever. And then he sang a song, which is amazing. And so here is Mary having the same encounter. In her innocence, she's like, "Hey, how is this going to happen? Because I'm engaged to be married, but I'm not married. How am I going to have a child?" And he tells her, and this isn't like, hey, the virgin story, we know it because we've been around the Christian subculture for a while, and we kind of like, oh, you know, the virgin birth. You know, this wasn't like, hey, I have a cousin that this happened to. This was a whole new experience. This is something that could have overwhelmed her. And the angel said to her, "Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child will be born, and he will call the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month of who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, 'Behold, I am your servant. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And then the angel departed." See, I would probably ask the angel if he could hang out and come talk to my fiance. Like, I would have tried to strong-arm Gabriel to, like, "Hey, can you defend me a little bit? Because this is going to seem really bad when this comes out, and I'm not married, and I'm with child." And she did nothing of the sort. All she did is believe what the angel of the Lord told her would come to be. And so after this, she gets excited and she wants to go see her cousin Elizabeth, and she goes and walks into the room, and there's a greeting. And in the greeting, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. John inside her womb dances around, and these are her words. In verse 42, and it says, "And she exclaimed with a loud cry," this is Elizabeth, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." See, he's beginning to let you know, let us know, how we live in this place of enjoying the God with us in the presence. And it's believing that what God has said is true. What God is saying to you will be. And see, there is everything in this story that could have robbed Mary of her presence. She can go, okay, you know, it's one thing to go, I'm going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. And one day, everybody's going to know, and they're going to lift me up, and hey, there's going to be Christian subcultures that have portraits of me, and I'm going to be wild renowned. Everybody's going to know of me. It's one thing to believe in the future. It's another thing to live in the moment of going, what this means for me, what God has allowed to happen to me, he is going to bring to my good. And so here's the story. Angel came to her, did what an angel had never done before. God was going to incarnate. He was going to bring his son into the world to do what we ourselves could not do with the law. And so she goes from one encounter with an angel to an encounter with a cousin, and over and over again, she's hearing the goodness of what God's going to do, and she sings the song. In verse 46, this is Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things in or for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers and to Abraham, and now his offspring forever." See, right then, she is living in this place of what is it? Because it had happened. I mean, people still don't, to the day he is executed, really believe this story. And she is singing the praises and the goodness of God, even though he allowed something that is going to be difficult. See, I think sometimes we get in a scenario and we go, "God, why didn't you just allow this not to happen to me? You know, why, Lord, you know, why didn't you allow me not to lose that $100? Because my afternoon would have been a little bit better yesterday." You know, the truth is, if God protected us from everything, we would never get to enjoy him. I mean, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when we face all kind of trials and tribulation. It's those things that allow us to really embrace God's presence, embrace the goodness of God, embrace him being with us. I mean, literally, it becomes those things that push us to a place of trusting and believing. It becomes those times that really mark us. I mean, most of my spiritual development over the last 21 years since I said yes to Jesus have come at the cost of a very trying time. And see, what helps us enjoy the presence of God is knowing that what He is doing in us is for our good and His glory. Romans 8:28 is not on the behind me on the TV, but Romans 8:28 is all things happen for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. All things. Like that $100 was just something God wanted to work in me, and like I had to go up my room and pout for a little bit, and God had to like soften me, and I had to go apologize because I was frustrated. Not at Jody, but at me, because I did it. Without those moments, I don't really get to test who I am. It's not until tension that we get to prove who we are. See, Mary, even though God knew that this was a vessel worthy of His Son, she was proven who she is through this trial. And so what I want to encourage you with, we got one more scripture. What I want to encourage you with is, what do you need to acknowledge over the next couple of weeks to enjoy the now? Because the past has happened, you cannot change it, the future is not a guarantee, but the now is the only thing that we presently have access to. So joy isn't going to come out of necessarily fixing something in our past, because we can't do it. We don't have a DeLorean with a flux capacitor. Not yet, at least. My son and I debate the realities of whether there'll ever be time travel. Noah looks up at me. And we cannot control what's going to happen tomorrow, but we can. If we want joy and peace, if you want joy and peace, it's not avoiding things during the season. It's not avoiding people this season. It is trusting that God is good enough for the most annoying family member that you're going to come in contact with this holiday, the most trying times, the most frustrating moments. But it will take the reality of trusting in Jesus. God with us. It's not an experiment that He started and He's sitting back going, I wonder what He's going to do. He actually involves Himself with us, puts His Holy Spirit in us to teach us, to motivate us, to love on us, and to equip us. So here's one last verse, Psalms 46:10. And something you can write down and keep with you and look at over the next couple of weeks is, you know, the holidays consume us and the travel consumes us is, be still and know that I am God. And listen, I love the I wills. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The only thing that will give you peace and joy in the moment is understanding that the name of Jesus and at the presence of Jesus, every knee will bow. And He will be exalted among the nations, and He will be exalted among the earth. So what's robbing your peace and your joy? What's right now you're focused that's taking away what you're going to wear or what you're going to purchase and all these other things from that original verse out of Matthew? What's robbing your attention where Jesus is saying, hey, just focus on me. If you'll let your focus and attention be on me, this season's going to be what it should be. Caleb, if you'll go ahead and come up. So as we close, I don't know what it is for you. I'm pretty hard-headed, as you probably see or hear over the, if you've been here more than one Sunday, you usually see some stupid thing that I've done. I like to acknowledge that I am far from perfect. I know what God's wanting to do in me. I know what God's trying to do in me, but the question is do you know what God's trying to do in you? And are you willing to respond to Him? And so the beauty of it is that He's done what we could not. Peace doesn't come from your effort and energy, it comes from Jesus. And so if that's what you're looking for this season, if you want to enjoy yourself this season, you're going to have to take your focus and your attention off of you and your trials and focus on what God is doing actively now. So as we close in this last song, I just encourage you to be still and know that He is Father. The great thing is confession is good for us. Don't hear me in what I'm getting ready to say and think, oh, we don't need to confess. He already knows everything that's going on. Use this last song as an opportunity to just go, God, this is where I'm at. This is what I know You want to do with me, and here I am submitting to that. And if you find yourself this morning in a place that you've never trusted in Jesus, the simplicity of the gospel is that you were made with a flaw. And that flaw was sin that has corrupted us. And regardless of our past, we've all sinned and separated from a loving God. And God, knowing that we were unable to fix ourselves and mend that issue, has sent His Son to do what we could not do, and to go on the cross and pay the penalty in full for you. So the beauty of what God is doing, can do, is setting you completely free. And so if you're not free, if you're trapped in your own consciousness of how horrible of a person you are, the gospel is that God came to love you out of that. And it is freely, willingly giving yourself, mind, body, spirit, to a God that wants to lead you into life. And so I'm going to pray for us. We're going to go into our song. About midway through our song, we're going to have some people that are going to walk up front. If there's things that are going on with you, they don't have to be related to what's going on today or what I've said today, but we believe that there's power in people praying for us, standing with us, acknowledging what's going on and allowing people to pray with us. So there, people are going to be up front if there's things that are going on. It is not a sign of weakness. I believe it's a sign of strength to say, I need someone just to stand with me. I need someone to encourage me. So if that's you, just make your way up as soon as you see them up front and allow them just to stand there with you. So dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You that, Lord, You didn't just give us a book. You gave us a man, and His name was Jesus. And He literally came and lived a life in the flesh. And Lord, I thank You that there was a woman willing to say, here I am, Your servant. And Lord, I pray that that would be our heart this season, that we would literally say, Lord, here we are, Your servant. Let it be as You have said. And so, Lord, I pray that You would just pour out Your Spirit on us, that You would change our view of this season from a consumer, self-gratifying season to a season of seeing the goodness of a loving God who sent His only Son in the flesh to be God with us. So Lord, thank You for today. Lord, I pray that You would just help us walk out of this room, help us encounter Your presence, not just in this place while we're together, but encounter Your presence all throughout this week, all throughout this month. And Lord, we thank You that You loved us first. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.